This is the FS podcast hosted by Exadel Financial Services. Exadel are the leading providers of digital transformation for the financial markets and have a focus on predictive artificial intelligence, DevOps, cloud migration, managed services, and build, implement, and support financial market systems. I'm your host, Deborah Boyland, and today we're joined by Bradley Mroz, Senior Partnership Manager at Thought Machine. Thought Machine is a core banking platform designed for the modern age. Hi, Bradley. It's been a long time coming, this conversation, right?
Yeah, hi, Deborah. Thanks so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in Italy at the moment and I needed paracetamol. And basically, you can only get paracetamol in the pharmacies and they were all shut. So while in pain, I had to walk like 40 minutes. But other than that, I'm good. The curses of summer, right?
It's like, yeah, good
and bad.
Navigating everyone who's off and trying to get work done and move on with life and everything still.
Yeah, and deal with the heat, right? But I mean, you're in America, so you must have aircon.
Yes, we do have air conditioning is a little bit more prevalent here. So I'm in a, balmy home right now that's very nicely ventilated, but hope everyone's staying cool if you don't have AC.
Yeah, see, in Europe and England, no one's heard of AC. It just doesn't exist. Tell us about Thought Machine.
Yeah, so Thought Machine's a cloud native banking technology company. It was founded in 2014 by Paul Taylor because he wanted to bring the same cloud technology he was exposed to while at Google to solve problems for banks and fintechs. This is an alternative to legacy core systems that are old, they're antiquated, they're inflexible, and they're difficult to upgrade. And above all, they're costly and they stifle innovation. So Thought Machine builds two products. We build Vault Core and Vault Payments. Both are cloud native technology, and they are built using the latest technologies for high performance, configurability, and the ability to allow banks of any size in any region to run any product they want and take full control over the roadmap. And we have now grown over the years to about 500 team members with our headquarters in London, regional offices in New York and Singapore and other offices throughout the world, but have large clients and tier one banks like JPMC, as well as others in region, and fintechs and neobanks as well.
You mentioned legacy systems. So do you don't integrate with the legacy system. Do you replace them or what's the situation?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways we can work with clients based on their transformation journey. Ultimately, with the flexibility of Vault Core to run any product for any bank, the aspiration is to consolidate your cores down to a single core to view your customer relationships and product holdings across a single core. So throughout the journey of transforming, you can either migrate and modernize, you can coexist, or you could launch completely greenfield. So there are plenty of options, but ultimately the end aspiration is to have a single view of the customer across all the product relationships and be able to personalize and innovate your product offering on a single core.
How has your customer acquisition process kind of changed over the last few years?
Yeah, so our customer acquisition process has always been heavily embedded with our pre-sales team that helps a client explore which value proposition they'd like to bring to market. And for some, this could be an out-of-footprint product offering, or for others, it could be a much larger transformation as they look to hollow out the core. So when we think about customer acquisition, it's really about understanding what the end prospect, the client wants to do, and then working with them to get a hands-on proof of concept and sandbox up, prove the benefits and value of running Vault Core, and then expand that through a broader engagement. So the customer acquisition process, especially in the core banking space, can run from anywhere from a few months to frankly many years, depending on the client ambition and the RFP cycle. So certain propositions for certain clients tend to move a little bit faster, but others are fairly involved, as you'd expect with the normal cycles of questionnaires, responding to RFPs, and doing many rounds of proof of concepts to validate the technology, not only in our environment, but as it integrates to the applications that a bank would need to move going forward.
How do you think digital banking transformation, or digital transformation generally, or digital transformation 2.0, as some are now calling it, has changed the market over the last few years?
Yeah, I think the pace of change is never going to slow down. Where it is today is only going to accelerate tomorrow. So the things we hear from what is valued from prospects and clients, and why a lot of prospects are exploring Vault Core, is the need for agility and a best in breed ecosystem. So this concept of banks owning their product roadmap and really having the control over which products they bring to market is paramount to their success, and frankly, remaining relevant to continue to transform. So when I look at digital transformation, I think about three things. I think about the greater adoption of cloud-based technologies. I think about personalization, and I think about them owning their product roadmap. And previously, really on that last point, several large institutions, and really institutions that are beholden to their core provider, have to wait for those providers to release something GA for them. At Thought Machine, we very much believe that the bank should own their product roadmap and be able to integrate using our APIs through best in breed ecosystem. And with that in mind, these teams within these banks can build any product that they want, and they can express it as code using our smart contract capability that's written in Python, and bring that to market quicker, which allows ultimately better personalization, better agility, and less reliance on the end vendor to go through a costly and time-consuming upgrade.
It's actually really similar to kind of our pillars. So we have some new pillars as things have evolved, you know, like open finance, but the core pillars were cloud, DevOps, which is like, you know, owning your product roadmap and making changes quickly and deploying things at the right pace, and then omnichannel, which is like personalization. So we're great minds. How has digital transformation impacted the user experience you deliver?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's very cliche to say that Amazon and all the, you know, the e-commerce innovation has impacted banking, but it's a reality. It's wild to think that you can order a meal and have it delivered to you and track the entire experience throughout start to finish of the transaction. But companies are still using batch-based processing for rigid next best offers that they propose to clients or their end consumers. And these products and these offers aren't necessarily tailored to what customers expect from their bank. They want a personalized experience. They want to not have to provide the information again that their institution already has on them. And I think when you look at a real-time core like Thought Machine and how it proliferates data, it creates the building blocks and gives those banks the tools they need to bring a campaign to the consumer when they want it, to help them manage their budget in real time, to offer things that are relevant, and to tailor products that meet an individual's moment in life or a life event they're experiencing. And it's not fitting a specific off-the-shelf product to an end consumer. It's really about looking at what the needs are, what the bank can provide, and then offering it to that consumer in a way that's safe, it's reliable, and it meets their needs at the time that they were expecting their financial institution to support them.
If we look at the wider economy more generally, I think we've seen quite a few shifts. I've got it on my questionnaire to ask you, how has the war for talent affected your business? But I think between the time that we put that together and now, we've seen like this crazy shift in the market. There is still a war for talent, and yet so many people have been let go, unfortunately, at some of the really big companies. What do you think is going on right now? How's it affecting your business or some of your partners' businesses? And yeah, like, what do you think is going to happen in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Broadly in the market, it's undeniable that there's been, you know, kind of a compression across the board in certain areas. And as you look at the war for talent, I think being built on modern technology as opposed to something as dated as COBOL only benefits us. So we're going to be able to compete for talent much more effectively. Engineers and banking specialists want to come work for a leading edge, innovative company that has a great culture. We've been recognized in quite a few surveys in each region and from a few publications around that culture specifically. And it consists of a lot of things that we do in office as a hybrid in office and remote culture to build that intentionally as we strive to be, you know, a great place to work. But for others, you know, it is a war for talent that you're going after, you know, a highly sought after group of individuals. I think the war for talent for, you know, for large institutions and banks only reinforces the need to adopt cloud technology. A lot of these application languages are not becoming more adopted. The pool that knows these languages is continuing to age out and continuing to become more specialists. So there's really a call to action to embrace some of these more modern languages and cloud-based technologies.
What role would you say resource augmentation providers play at your company and maybe in your department?
Yeah, so, you know, at Thought Machine, we do all of our engineering in-house, but we rely heavily on delivery partners. So in my role, I work with delivery partners in the fintech ecosystem to build unique value propositions and offerings between the partner and Thought Machine that will benefit our clients and our prospects. Something that we've built is our integration library to make it easier to adopt Vault and accelerate return on investment and just reduce time. But in terms of resource augmentation, for us, like I mentioned, we do all our development in-house and mostly our headquarters in London, but we rely heavily on our delivery partners to help clients modernize their core and launch Vault. And what that means is really looking at our enablement curriculum, which our partners can log into. We have a full suite of offering to get certified on our technology, and then working hand in hand with them and our client delivery teams to launch new offerings and market for these banks. So it is a need that we look at for how do we complement and extend, you know, the team that we have here to, I'd say, add new logos, new clients, but specifically from an in-house perspective, we really dedicate that time in building out great documentation, building out easy to understand technology, easy to adopt technology, and curating a great set of partners that go hand in hand with us in each region to scale and deliver effectively while managing each of those live client engagements.
Where do you think banking is heading in the next year? Do you see any changes coming our way?
Yeah, so I definitely think that you're going to see a continued adoption of cloud native technology in banking, and banks in North America now recognize, you know, the huge potential for cloud technology to make them faster, more agile, and more efficient. But still, there's a very low penetration throughout the stack of the banking stack of using cloud throughout. And I think we're going to see that continue to accelerate. But just in terms of a few other takes, I think you're going to see things continue to move from this closed system to open ecosystem, where banks consistently look at how they view their technology partners and the experiences they want to bring their end consumers and customers. And they say, it's going to be easier to partner with someone than to build this in-house, or we don't have the capability and the means to build this in-house because there are already other things on our roadmap. So those that have open APIs, those that are ecosystem friendly, and those that build a good platform that is able and flexible enough to integrate are going to win in the market. And then this kind of folds in nicely to really that personalized offering. I think you see with the investment that certain banks are making, JP Morgan announced this in their recent investor day, that the tech spend that they are earmarking for the next few years, but a transformed incumbent approach. So as opposed to some of the neobanks that have a very specific offering with an amazing experience, larger banks are continuing to find a way to refine how they cater their experience in a personalized way to consumers and what that means for transforming their core operations. So they've made the investment on the front end, on the experience side, but how they bring all of that in-house and then transform operations to meet those consumer needs, I think, is going to be a prevailing trend for the next few years.
You've mentioned cloud. Are there any other specific tools or technologies that you think will make a big impact over the next few years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd put my money on event-driven architecture being pervasive for the next few years as we see banks continue to modernize. And being a real-time cloud-native core and being able to emit those events as they happen on the core, be it an account opening, a transaction, or an account modification, all of that happening in real time allows other applications to listen to these events and process things as they need to. So if I look at the customer experience, I mentioned the DoorDash or the food delivery example before. If I set a budget on my banking app, I'd like to know if I'm approaching that budget. And I'd like to know, you know, in real time. It seems not necessarily novel, but surprisingly, it is, because if you don't use a real-time event-driven architecture, you run the risk of missing the opportunity to interact with that consumer and build trust. And on the bank side, if you're a bank stakeholder, if you're managing risk and regulatory compliance and liquidity, it's easier to do that with a real-time core that's persisting events to other systems as they happen, and be able to not have to wait for an end of day batch file or for another application to run processes. The benefits, not only for the bank stakeholder and the consumer experience with marketing campaigns, are further compounded when you add on, it's a better setup for running AI and ML models and just knowing more about how your operations are running within the bank, but also understanding a bit more about where your customers are going.
Who's letting you set budgets? Even my neobank doesn't, like the neobank that I use doesn't let me set budgets.
It seems, I mean, fundamentally,
that would be so good.
You're storing money, you're moving money, you should be able to have a good gauge on, you know, financial wellness and financial health. So I just think the proliferation of neobanks, apps, things around this are all on the periphery to what a bank's core job is. And it's to be there at the right time for you and provide the right, you know, financial opportunity, the right product set, and help you manage your finances. So it's interesting how things have evolved to such a segmented view based on certain features. But, you know, here we are.
I still have to track my budgets in Excel sheets. So
old
we've
school.
Evolved and yet. where do you see regulations kind of evolving in your region in the next few years?
Yeah, I think what's really exciting about the reg space is the further embrace of open banking. It's an exciting opportunity for both, you know, banks and consumers to have better access and a better picture of their banking experience. But with that comes, you know, very strong considerations around data security, data privacy, and things like that. So I do look to that space to see things further evolve and open up for the end consumer that benefits them in a very pragmatic and safe way, where their data is not moving across the internet without, you know, their knowledge or their consent. And then, you know, lastly, I'm really excited to see some of the regulation come out about the further embrace or pragmatic safeguards for crypto. While we aren't operating on the cryptocurrency space, we do have the ability to hold crypto balances and facilitate transactions with crypto exchanges to view everything on a single platform. But I think with the recent events that have happened, there's likely some safeguards and some pragmatic guidance that's forthcoming from regulators in each region, but I still think that there's a ton of promise and that space has an immense amount of upside.
Second to last question. Do you have any advice for anyone new to the industry who's looking to build a career in banking?
Yeah, so I started out as a systems integration consultant within banking. So I was doing the work of transforming these systems, writing requirements and overseeing the actual builds of the integration and contributing to, you know, modernizing some of these systems. And compared to when I started my career and to where we are now, my advice would be to dig into something that you're interested in because of the prevalence of open documentation. We've come so far from, I'd say previously I mentioned the phrase closed systems. But if you look at any favorite fintech that you have out there, the chances are they have an open developer portal. And you can read that documentation and understand in deep detail how those applications and platforms work. And using that experience combined with the community that's around fintech, I think is invaluable and is an amazing place to start. So the knowledge that's out there between our newsletters, Substacks that are hyper-specific for the industry, open Slack communities, and open developer portals and documentation is only going to get better. I think it's excellent right now, and there's a lot of work that continue to be done to open that up to proliferate knowledge. So I think that would be a great place to start.
Actual last question. If someone wants to reach out to you, wants to find you online, how can they do that?
Yeah, so we are online, thoughtmachine.net. If you'd like to reach out to me for partnership opportunities or inquire about how to get started with Vault Core or Vault Payments, you can drop me an email. It is the first letter of my first name, so B, and then my last name, MROZ, at thoughtmachine.net, or you can find me under my name on LinkedIn.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us, Bradley.
Thank you.
This was the FS podcast hosted by Exadel Financial Services. Don't forget to follow us to hear more.